from your seed. Ish mizarcha ledoyroisam, throughout every generation, all generations, until the end of days. Asher yevoy mum. Now this is a very, well, this is not a very nice parasha over here. So you know, you have to, when you learn these parashas, you know the attitude is that by learning these parashas, it was niskayim, all the mumim already was fulfilled. No one has to be a baal mum. When you learn about a sugya that's very unpleasant, so like they say, I told you this is the chasid shavar, is that talmidei chachamim marbim shalom ba'olam. What does that mean? It means that amol, every so often in shamayim, there's a gezerah, for whatever the reason is, that there's going to be a war. There's going to be a war in the Welt. So when talmidei chachamim, they engage in milchamto shel Torah, oh, it was niskayim the gezerah. So now, there doesn't have to be a war, a physical war of people getting hurt, dying, and losing parnasa, and all the agmas nefesh that comes with it. Because it was niskayim in an oifan of pleasantness. The milcham de shel Torah. So the same thing, you learn about these psukim in depth, about ish kievoy mum. This is a very unpleasant thing. A person, rachmana litzlan shav a mum, it's a gefarlicha thing. It's such a horror, such a tzara. So when you learn these sugyas, if rachmana litzlan, echveis, whatever, we don't know how these things work, there's meant to be that there's a mum, someone in the Welt, one of the achinu b'nei Yisrael, is meant to have a mum. Oh, by learning the psukim, it was niskayim. It was niskayim the gzera, and now it doesn't have to happen in the world of reality. That's the attitude, that's the very popular Hasidish attitude you have when you learn these type of sugyas, which are very unpleasant. So it should not be considered unpleasant. Here we go. So we have over here, Ishiye Baimum Lo Yikrav Lahakrif Lechem Elokov. Such a person who has a blemish is not acceptable to the service. He is rejected. He's not going to participate in the service of the Kohanim, of worshipping, doing in the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi over here says, Lechem Elokav. What is Lechem Elokav? Machal Elokav. The food of Hashem, called Su'uda Kruya Lechem, K'moy Avad Lecham Rav. Avad means, I don't even know what that means, Avad to serve Lechem Rav, the bread of the master. So I guess over there it refers to, he was a butler. Benil was a butler. I'm not sure exactly what it refers to over there. I didn't do my homework, didn't look it up. Once upon a time, remember in the old days, we actually learned this together. Time for a refresher course. That pasuk, avad lecham rav. But over here, pasuk we're saying, Rashi, over here, saying over here is the food, lechem, is called a meal. The word lechem is interchangeable with the word ma'achal. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, lo yigrav, he may not come near, lahakriv, to offer lechem. Lechem means a meal. Now this is very bizarre, because as far as we're concerned, Hashem doesn't need bread, Hashem doesn't have food. What difference does it make if it says the word lechem or if it says the word ma'achal? So as if Rashi
has a footnote.
Yeah.
The footnote here is for the carbon mincha.
The carbon mincha. Now who says that? Who says the carbon mincha?
Maskil and David.
Okay, that's a chiddush. That's a chiddush to say that, referring specifically, not referring to even the animal sacrifices. That's a chiddush. Is that Shan Rashi? All right. I hear what you're saying. That's a very, we'll see the time in a second. But we have to at least appreciate that this expression is a very, very difficult expression. That a person of Baal Mum shall not serve in the Beis HaMikdash. And the way it describes the Kohen serving in the Beis HaMikdash, he shall not come near, lo yikrav. That itself is a very interesting expression. Serving as a Kohen is to coming near, to offer yikrav lahakrif, to makrif to Hashem, Hashem's bread. Hashem does not eat bread. So what does Rashi say it means? Oh, don't take it literally. Don't take the word lechem literally. What it means is Hashem's food. How did Rashi answer the question? Rashi was obviously bothered. How could the pasuk say bread in reference to Hashem? Hashem does not eat bread. So Rashi says, don't take it literally, it means Hashem's food. Hashem does not eat food. So the only thing you have to understand is that we are, we unfortunately, we're brainwashed into believing that the word ma'achal means physical food. And obviously that's not what it means. Ma'achal, ochel, ochel means something which satiates, which is, it gives an entity a degree of satisfaction. Fire, you use the word ma'achal by fire. A ma'acheles. What's a ma'acheles? A coal. A fire is not food. It's ochel. So what does it mean? It means some type of combustion. There's some type of consumption of energy. And that consumption of energy, it satisfies some force in this world. The word ma'achal does not, is the real meaning of the word ma'achal does not mean food. Does not mean, bread is bread. That it seems we're not going to argue with for now. Bread is bread. Bread means something, it grows in the ground, and wheat, one of the five grains, and you harvest it, and you dry it out, you process it, you make flour, you add water, you put it in the oven. You have something physical. Machal means, it means something that is consumed. Literally, the word ochel means something that is consumed. V'hasneh einenu ukal. Okay, that's where the word ochel comes from. The sneh is not ukal. It's not consumed. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says that the etymology of the word an einikel, is that a Yiddish word? I'm assuming it's a Yiddish word. It's Yiddish. An einikel is a grandchild. Is a grand. Why is an einikel called an einikel? Where does it come from, the word einikel? Einikel, this Yiddish word, where does it derive from? Ukal. The hasneh, the bush, einena, was not ukal. It was not consumed. Now, what does that mean exactly? So, someone will tell you that it represents a person's continuity. The fact that he has a grandchild, it's like, oh, you see, I live on. I live on forever. I have prodigy. I have children, grandchildren. But that's not really what it, that's not, that's a very nice pshat. But I think it's much deeper than that. It's, ukal means ochel. It means satisfaction. A person has very great satisfaction in witnessing the birth of a grandchild. It means he's a success. He is a success. He came into this world and was zoche to raise children to the degree where his children have gone further to raise their own children. So the grandfather has a very great degree of satisfaction. Just like when a person eats food, he's hungry, hunger pangs, and you put some bread in your mouth. Ah, now I'm satisfied. I feel the degree of my weakness. My weakness has gone away. I'm now b'koychoy. I have, it says ochel. It is the same thing. When a person has anything that you have satisfaction from is called ochel. When it says by the bush, v'yasneh enin ukal, it means there that is that the fire was not satisfied. V'yasneh, the bush, was not ukal. It's used there in a very sophisticated way. But it means that there was a bush, and it was burning. And the expectation is that the fire derives its life, its satisfaction, its existence from combustion, from something burning. Something being consumed. And look at this. The snare, it was burning, but the wood, the choymer, was not consumed. So the word really in einikel, it really comes from the word ochel. I think that's what Rabbi Chaim was trying to explain. Perhaps ukal is really ochel. What is ukal? Ukal is ochel. And ochel, what is ochel? Well, look at this Rashi. Rashi contrasts the word lechem. No, it doesn't mean lechem. Because Hashem doesn't need bread. So what does it mean? It means ochel. Now for the average person like me, what's the difference between ochel and lechem? Food is food. What is Rashi playing games with us over here? It doesn't mean lechem, it means ochel. Ochel is food. You have pizza, you have bagels, you have meat, you have bread, you have, I don't know, whatever you want to have. Obviously, that's not what it means. Ochel does not mean bread. Ochel describes the satisfaction that a person has when he consumes something. Now, ordinarily, it's a borrowed term. Ordinarily, you use ochel for food, because you put the food in your body, and the body digests the food. The food is consumed. That gives the person satisfaction, satiation, satisfaction. And that concept can be used in regard to anything. Certainly, it can be used in regard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like a rotzayim, that when you do what Hashem tells you to do, you follow the rules, you follow His instructions, then Hashem derives satisfaction. So therefore, Rashi says, what it says, lechem, no, don't worry about the word lechem. Lechem means lechem, ma'achol elokav. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He derives satisfaction when He sees that the korbanos are being offered according to His instructions. Called su'uda kriya lechem, a su'uda by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's going to be the ma'achol, but it's going to be by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a spiritual su'uda, is called lechem, k'may avad lechem rav. Let's see the Targum. Targum says, wrong Targum, my uncle is, malel im aron l'meymar givar mibinach l'dorion, for all the generations. Okay, for some reason, I don't know why, for some reason this parsha, you have to really be done. Why, when it comes to the parsha of Mumin, does the Torah need to emphasize that a blemish, the laws of blemishes apply to all the generations? I'm sure there must be a Gemara somewhere that answers this question, because every mitzvah applies for eternity. You don't have to go say the word L'doro Sechem. Every mitzvah applies to all generations. Why do we have to emphasize when it comes to the laws of a blemish that applies to all generations? Obviously, there must be some answer which I do not know. Nivnach L'dorichon diyehe vei mumo. If he has a blemish, lo yikrav l'korovo. And here, the Targum disagrees with Rashi. I don't know if he disagrees. Maybe he's saying really the same thing. He calls it korbono. He calls the word lechem as a korban. A korbono. A korbono means a korban. Lechem is a korban. No, I once discussed, I'm not going to go through this now, but I spent a lot of time on this over the years, adding insights together about Tikanta Shabbos. We said this together, we spoke about this today at length, again today. And here's another piece of the puzzle. Tikanta Shabbos, Ratzisa Kor B'Noiseha. What does that mean? The whole piyut, the whole expression. So you can look in the art scroll and read what it says, but with all due respect to the art scroll, which my blood is art scroll, I live and breathe art scroll, but it's what they wrote there in the translation is very, very weak. Very weak translation. It refers to the lechem upon it. That a whole expression in the beginning of Musaf, of Shabbos, Tikanta Shabbos, Ratzisa, Karbonoseho, Tzivisa, Perusheho, Im Sidure Nisochecho, refers exclusively to the lechem haponim. And when it says Ratzisa, Karbonoseho, what does the word Karbonoseho refer to? Lechem. How do you know it's lechem? Look at the Targum. The Targum over here says, Lo yikrav lahakrif lechem elokav. How does the Targum translate the word lechem, bread, korbono, a korban? So you see the word korban and lechem are interchangeable. So when we discuss the lechem aponim on the shulchan, it refers to, that's why it says it's called a korban. Okay. Let's go further. This concludes this pasuk. Next pasuk. Ki cholish asher boimum lo yikrav. Any man has a blemish.
He's disagreeing with Rashi.
Is he disagreeing with Rashi?
On the translation of the word lechem.
Lechem. Rashi says lechem means it means. Rashi says it means the su'uda of Hashem, the meal, the machol, Hashem's food. It's not necessarily a stira. He's just saying that it is a sacrifice. I don't think. I think in the compliments. He's obviously. He's not saying the word korban. Rashi doesn't say the korbanos. Rashi does not say the word korbanos. But Rashi does refer to the korbanos because Rashi says it means the machol of Hashem. What is Hashem's machol? Hashem's machol is the korbanos. And the Targum just cuts to the chase and says the word Kurbana. I don't need to hear all this elaborate, you know, eloquence, the machol, the seuda, and quote me a pasuk in Daniel. Let's just cut to the chase. It means here the korbanos. And that's what Rashi is also saying. You can't deny Rashi. Rashi also means that, but Rashi is just saying it in different words. Is there a nafkamin in Rashi and Unkelus? Maybe. There's certainly a lot of, this infinite amount of depth in what's going on in Rashi and Unkelus. Okay, we'll live with that. Let's go to the next pasuk. Ki chol yashav ba'asher yeh ba'imom lo yikrom minakam nir ish. Now, what is a blemish? So here we begin to delineate a collection of blemishes. Ish iver, blindness. Aifiseach, he's lame, meaning his limbs don't work. Lame means, piseach means, it means he has limbs, but the limbs are not functional. Rachman al-Tzlan. Oy chorum. When we see the Rashi, all the nitty gritty details. Chorum over here in the English, they did us a very good, they did good here. Chorum means too short. Oy sorua, which means they're not even. One leg is longer than the other, one is shorter. We have to really see in Rashi with more clarity. Let's see Rashi right away. Okay, here are the blemishes. Ki cholisha shayev aymum lo yikrav. Einoy din shayikrav kimo ha'akriver no lefechosecha. So Rashi over here is saying something over here very interesting. Over here is saying, einoy badin. What does Rashi over here want us trying to say over here? Einoy badin, it's not just... This is very strange, Rashi. I don't really know what Rashi over here is saying is, if not for this Rashi, let's look like, if not for this Rashi, how would you look at this pasuk? You would say, the pasuk here is giving you a commandment. It's not for you to go, the Torah doesn't give you reasons. It's very rare, not that it doesn't happen, but the Torah generally does not tell you the reason why you do a mitzvah. It does here and there, but generally the Torah just tells you these are the rules. These are the rules, whether you like it or not. Chazal come along and they tell you sometimes the reason for the mitzvah. Sometimes they don't. And then you'll have acharonim, you know, darshanim that will darshan and tell you different interesting things about mitzvahs based upon the Torah Shebal Peh, Drush. But the Torah is not in the business. It's not a medrash book. It's not coming here to give you inspirational insights into the mitzvah. Just telling you, this is the way it is, and just follow the rules, and don't ask questions. This is the way it is. That's what I would assume. Ki chol ish asher boimum lo yikrov. Forbidden. If you're a blemish, you're out. That's it, you're out. Leave the game. So all the Rashi comes and Rashi says, the Torah is telling you the reason. You know what the reason is? It's not dignified. If a head of state would come to visit your hometown, would you come to greet him and send all the people that are lame, the people that are crippled? Is that derech eretz to greet a head of state by presenting him? The people that are going to come greet him are the people that are crippled. I mean, there's a very big rachmanis, you give very big respect. No one's coming to deny cover to people who are crippled.
Disabled.
But it's not what you do. You don't go and greet them and greet them, send out these people to greet the head of state. And as you say, Hakrivenu lefechasecha, would you offer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, an animal to a governor, lefechasecha means to a governor, an animal that's filthy, dirty, and disgusting, and has broken limbs? Of course not. So how dare you present to HaKadosh Baruch Hu korbanos of animals that are grade C? The same way that rule applies with regard to the object that you present to Hashem, likewise the people who serve in the Beis HaMikdash have to be dignified. Okay, they have to be dignified. So here it says, ish kivav lo yigal ish iver oifiseach. So the first thing that it says over here is ish iver. Okay, and that is, someone's blind. Fisech is lame. One of his limbs is not functional. What is charum? Charum. So he says, we didn't answer the question. So we did not answer the question. Why did Rashi over here go out of his way? 1 second, over this guy is calling me back 100 times. Why over here did Rashi go out of his way to say that this is not a command, but it's a reason. Ein oidin, it's not proper. It's not proper. What's pshat? So it must be that Rashi understands that the unusual expression of ki kol ish, the word ki is presenting a different tone in this pasuk. It should say kol ish asher boi mum lo yikrav. What's this word ki? The word ki, Rashi, this whole Rashi is all built upon the word ki. The word ki is not usual. Right, it's giving you rationale. Why is Rashi telling us that that's what the pasuk is doing? The pasuk normally does not do that. The pasuk normally is just dry. And it says, these are the rules. Do it whether you like it or not. The answer is because in this pasuk, for whatever the reason, the pasuk itself is giving you the rationale. How does Rashi know it's giving you the rationale? From the unusual use of the word ki. Okay, next. What does it mean, chorum? What kind of blemish is chorum? Shechotmoy shokua bein shtei hoinayim, shekoichel shtei einov ka'achas. Now, this is a very interesting thing. Where there's no bridge, okay? In between the two eyes, there is a nose. And the nose extends all the way down to right on top of the mouth. But the nose is a very fascinating thing. It's a fascinating thing. The nose, the upper portion of the nose serves as a mechitza between the two eyes. Isn't that interesting? We don't think of it like that. You think you have two eyes? No, you don't have just two eyes. You don't have two eyes. You have one eye on each side of your head. A person has two eyes. Wrong. You don't have two eyes. You have one eye on one side of the head and another eye on the other side of the head because the two sides of your head are separated by a mechitza. A mechitza. What's the mechitza? The bridge. The bridge of the nose, the top of the nose. That really serves a major barrier between the two eyes. Think of it, the two eyes, and each eye never saw the other eye. Isn't that amazing? They don't know from each other. The eye on the left side of your face does not know that there's an eye on the right side. Go your whole life, 120 years, each one of the eyes thinks it's the only thing that's seeing what goes on in this, that sees what's going on. Because it's all you got, it's just me. One eye doesn't know from the other eye. So what happens if a person has a defect and there is no nose? Well, the nose is sunken in into his head more than usual. So that the two eyes are mamish, there's no barrier, there's no mechitza between the two eyes. It's like Shabbos Kiddush, they take away the mechitza. And the men and the women, they mingle. There's no mechitza between the two eyes. So then, no mechitza is. You can't come to the Beis HaMikdash. From here you learn, you have to have a mechitza, just joking. So here you have over here, this, what is it over? This is a shocking, this called a charum. I don't appreciate what this word is, a charum. Shechotmoy, the word charum, what's the word charum? Shechotmoy, shakua, it is sunk. Bein shtei hoinayim, and that means if a person wants to paint his eyes, shekoichel shtei einav keachas. Now, what does it mean shekoichel? It means eye makeup. So I guess that means that a person who puts on eye makeup, who puts on eye makeup? Do men put on eye makeup? I don't know. I assume not. Maybe they do. I don't know. But women who put on eye makeup, they have to apply the eye makeup to each eye individually. You can't take broad strokes and just have to apply this makeup in one shot. Because there is a barrier in between the two eyes called the nose. So each eye has to be get individual attention. But if there is no nose, then the application can go in one shot. Now, if that is the case, question, what exactly is the literal meaning of the word chorum? Chorum, I really don't know. What is the literal meaning? Rashi over here is very nice. He tells us that it means there's a nose, and the nose is sunk between the eyes, and thus, Rashi gives an example, a person can be koichel. Koichel means to apply eye makeup, to apply some type of paint, almost. I'm not exactly sure.
Logical translates disfigured. I guess it's not in its correct form.
Rashi's explaining. Rashi's being very, very... Rashi, the Art Scroll, with all respect to the Art Scroll is basically saying, is suggesting that none of the words that Rashi has mentioned is part of the root of the word chorum. Because Rashi says three things. Rashi says there's a nose. Rashi says the nose is sunk, shakua. There are three key words of Rashi. Number one, choitem. Number two, shakua. Number three, koichel. Three different terms, Rashi says. There's a nose. Number two, the nose is not the way it should be. Number three, it gives, therefore, the person the opportunity to apply an anointment or some application to his eyes in one shot. Shekoichel means to paint the eyes. So you would expect that the word chorum, it would be maybe a nutrigen. It would be, there are three letters. Maybe it's a shortened version, a shortened expression, which you can read the three words of Rashi. The ches is choitem, the reish is something else, and the mem is something else. But guess what? It doesn't work in this case, because when the word shakua is not in the pot, there's no letter shin in the word, and there's no letter chaf in the word, and you're left holding the bag, charum. What does the word charum really mean? Rashi is giving us a very nice explanation of what it means, but he's not giving us the etymology of the word. Ordinarily, you would expect Rashi to give us the etymology. So there's something that we were missing. Let's look at that. Before we get into the Targum of Cecilia, what is sharua? What is sharua? Another very difficult word that we're not familiar with. She'echod me'evodav godol mechaveru. It's uneven. Einoi achas gidoilo ve'ein achas ketana. Oi shoikoi achas arucha. One thigh, one leg is long. Mechaveruta. Okay, so Rashi is giving us words. Now, how does that word sharua, what is the etymology of the word sharua? He's not telling us. He's not showing us exactly how the word, sin. Sorua. He's not giving us the etymology of the word. Let's see Targum. Maybe Targum will help us. Targum says, are kol gevar divei muma lo yikrav. What are the blemishes? A gevar man. Avir, blind. Oi chagir. Chagir is lame. That's piseach. Oi chorim. Doesn't really say anything. Chorim oi syria. Does not give us the etymology. Let me look over here. What is over here in the Ma'atzari? Ma'atzari in Pasik, Yudchas. Pasik Yudchas. Let's see if they have anything. Yuzayin. Yudchas Chagir. That we know is Piseach. Okay. Let me go down further. Okay. Then he writes over here. Chagir Kavanose Piseach. Omer B'Torah Hainu Choli B'Raglof. Shadrisas ragloi koshelof. The enoi ragloi achasar mechaverta shem mavua sheish chiger bishtei ragloch. Yesh chiger braglo achas. Vragloi achas kitsar zeus sorua. Fine. Umichlal shachul. And that's including the word shachul. Avla grokos a pisech hashakim gvoyim zumizu the enum shavim. Chagir miloshim chagura. Lefisha gide raglov niskavtsu, a belt, they have withered, v'niksharu. Kosa b'toises anshe shem, yesh oimim shech, gergu bergul achas b'seach, b'seach is, this is, he's going through these different words of b'sheir, glam v'lo nihiru ela haino chiger, b'seach, ela shech, b'sheach, lashon tayro, lashon chacham, v'teh shakol echa v'targum b'seach chiger.
Okay, no, all right, I knew. Okay, we're not doing that. I wasn't focusing on that. I'm sorry. Let's go to the next word, Syria. What is Syria? It says over here, Sarua, Syria, Tirgim, Kaloshan, Amikra, Avalokamon, Bimumi, Behemoth, Tirgim, Yatir. Oh, he doesn't explain. What could I tell you? I don't know. I do not know. It doesn't really. All I can tell you, though, is one thing is that there's another Girsa. In this Targum we have over here in Safari that I'm using on the screen, it says Syria in the Targum with a sin, just like what it says in the Pasuk. However, in another edition, which appears to be more accurate, the word Syria in the Targum has a samach. A samach. Okay, so that may be some type of indication of some other interpretation. Let's cheat. We never usually do this. Look at the other Targumim. Targum Yonason says, Arum kol gvar deve muma loikov gvar de sone blind o de chagir o de loki bechutme. Ah, you see? I open up over here the Targum Yonason ben Uzil on the screen. And he says, de loki bechutme. He's smitten in the nose. Oi, the next one is, de mishtemit yireche, it's missing. The mishtemit means yireche, a limb is missing. So Targum Yonasan ben Uzil disagrees with Rashi, and he learns that the word sarua means he's missing a limb, specifically his leg. One of the legs doesn't exist, amputee. Unlike Rashi that says the word sarua, all it means is that he has to go to get a special shoe where they make padding so the 2 feet are the same size. I have a friend, a little bit older than me. He had hip replacement surgery. And part of hip replacement surgery is
According to the Targum, if you have a person that doesn't have one eye and I had an accident, he can't do it
But can he do the avoida?
Well, he's not blind, but he has one eye that's good, but his other eye is not functioning at all. So what he's that? Missing a limb, according to the Targum Yonasan, he can't.
No, but the Targum Yonasan only says it specifically when it comes only. Targum says specifically only with a leg. He says it only with regard to a leg, a yireche. The mishtemit yireche. He says a leg, only a leg. It doesn't say by an eye. Not so similar. I don't know. It's either there are a lot of there. This is a very big topic. This is a very big topic, and it's a very uncomfortable topic to talk about because no one likes to talk about these type of things.
Is this applied today to those who can go up to Dukhan or not?
Well, eyes, yes. I think eyes. I don't know the answer. There are a lot of different issues. When you deal with Kohanim, first of all, there are a lot of different. The laws of Dukhaning are not the same for the laws of doing Avodah in the Beis Hamikdash, and the laws of doing Avodah in the Beis Hamikdash are not the same laws for eating Teruma and getting an Aliyah. There are many different dimensions to the life of a Kohen, and each one of these matters, there are a different set of laws. So you can't generalize. Here we are referring specifically with regard to a Kohen bringing korbanos for Klal Yisrael. And here it says a collection of words which are extremely difficult to accurately translate. And that is why it's very obvious, just reading over here, we look at the Targum, we look over here at Rashi, we look at Unkelus, and over here, I'm looking over here at the Ma'atzari, over here a little bit, there is a collection, a plethora of interpretations and translations for these words, and obviously you can have very big nafkamina between the Rishonim as to certain types of blemishes if they are disqualified from serving in the Beis HaMikdash. Today we're very inclusive. Tremendous, tremendous chesed in America. America has made it that people with disabilities are able to mount to mamash function in ways that in previous generations were impossible. Okay, you know, the laws are so strict. Like, you want to build a building today, you're not going to even get started unless it's accessible for the handicapped, and there's an elevator and there's a ramp. And there are, and then in employment, equal opportunity. It's really amazing how in America, the chesed to give people opportunities with disabilities is unprecedented in world history. And this has spread to the entire world because of America.
And that, you have all these replacement, you know, especially they show a lot, you watch TV, so the veterans will come home.
Veterans, the technology. Technology, yeah, the prosthesis, and the amount of money they spend on this, the amount of money that the government invests in this technology is probably billions of dollars. It's one of the most advanced technology to help people to function that in previous generations would be finished. It's tremendous chesed. Okay, well, so therefore, but so the, all of these terms, they're extremely complicated, what they mean. Even something as simple as a lefty. Let's say if a person is a lefty. Is he allowed to do the avodah? It's a very complicated sugya. Is a lefty allowed to do? Why not? Maybe lefty. You say a lefty can't do the avodah. That's not so poshut. A lefty can't do the. Just because your koyach is in your left arm, so what? So do the avodah with your right arm. Just because your strength, tefillin has its halachas, avodah has its halachas. Everything, all of these types of blemishes, it's all theoretical because. There is no Beis HaMikdash. When there will be in Yeretz Hashem Beis HaMikdash, there's going to be obviously a Beis Din, and it's going to become, Nogei Halacha L'Maisa, how to accurately translate each one of these words, because there's going to be major consequences as to how you translate these words. Just because a person, there can be people that actually have different issues, handicaps, but there are definitely solutions that technology and science has made possible. And the question is, will you deny Kohanim their right to serve in the Beis HaMikdash due to a handicap? Well, the Torah says you can't. Well, what exactly does the Torah say? Accurately define these words. I'm running out of time, we'll scroll over here. Since we have the Targum, maybe just do one more very quickly, one plus one more over here. Over here, Ayish Asher Yeboi. Very quickly, Ayish Asher Yeboi is Shever Rogel, is Shever Yod. What does that mean? A broken arm or a broken foot. Now that is healable. When it comes to things that I mentioned above, are they healable? I don't know. Are these things healable? Yeah, pseach. Pseach means his foot just doesn't function. Let's say he'll do surgery and he'll get it to function. I'm assuming he's good. Let's say he has cosmetic surgery where they go and they pull the nose out in between the two eyes. In the time when the Torah was given, it would appear, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, that these things are permanent blemishes. This does not appear to be entirely a permanent blemish. A person has a broken regular, broken yad, that heals. You put in a cast, that heals. Shever regular, shever yad. What does it say over here in Rashi, very quickly? Rashi, here on this pasuk, there is no Rashi. How do you like that? And what does the Targum say on this pasuk? Shever gvar diyeve, tvar raglo, tvar yade. A given or dak, it is a little more complicated this pasuk. A given or dak, or to valul beino, or go to this very graphic. So we'll have to leave this for tomorrow. This pasuk, we'll stop over here. We Hashem tomorrow we'll do the pasuk 20. Rabbi Yisrael, thank you.
Rabbi, I wanted to ask you.
Yes, show. Listening.
If in Atalos,
yeah,
one of the tzitzis, one string of one of the tzitzis is torn off all the way up to, you know, the spiral. Do you have to replace that tzitzit?
Yes. If one string is cut, mamish, depends. If you have there a small, teeny amount left of one string that can go around all of the other tzitzits, then it's kosher. But if the string is cut, mamish, where it begins to get loose, in other words, you have the chol. Here, let me illustrate on my tzitzis. I have to stand up because you know, you see. Here are my tzitzis, yeah? You see my tzitzis? Let me turn off the share screen. Here. You see my tzitzis? Can you see this? Mr. Rapport, can you see this? Mr. Rapport, are you there? You're on mute, Mr. Rapport.
Yours is torn up to where your V split happens.
So if it's cut all the way up. To the very end?
Yeah.
Whether not? No, yeah. Good. No, puzzle. Even one.
Yeah, sure.
One string can be cut like this. It has to be like I don't know, like an inch. You have 1 inch left, then it's good because
why? It can be cut all the way.
No, it can't. We don't pass it like that. One could be cut. It has to be a little bit, just a little bit, a teeny amount, a centimeter, in order to go all the way around, to wrap it around. That's how we pass it. There's another opinion, the Machaber quotes another opinion that says it mamish be cut, mamish until the knot. You're right, that's not the halacha. We don't pass like that in the Amar. The truth is, you could have two, even three. You could have two, because the question is, when they made the tzitzis, were they careful when they made the tzitzis to make sure that the same way you start out over here, it's separate, the ones on each side are always separate. Sometimes they get mixed up, and when they make the knots, they intertwine them. So in order to be concerned for the worst scenario, you could have two of them. But each of the two have to have at least like a centimeter. Two strings.
He tore one, so what he has to look at, if the one that he tore has approximately at least an inch left,
it's good.
Where your thumb is,
it's good.
Then he's good.
But the Mishnah Berurah says, even though it's kosher, you can make a bracha on it in the meantime, but you should replace it. The Mishnah Berurah says, it's kosher, you can make a bracha, you don't have to take it off on Shabbos, this is an apostle, you have to take it off, you're not allowed to wear it, because you're wearing a garment that has four corners that doesn't have tzitzit, so you have to take it off right away. If it's Shabbos, you've got a big problem, because Shabbos, you can't walk with it in the street.
There's
there, but you don't have to take it off. But even though it's kosher, and you don't have to take it off, you're not over any aveira of wearing a garment that's four corners without tzitzis, and on Shabbos you do not need, you're supposed to replace it. It's kosher. Let it be like that forever.
You can make a bracha on it?
Yes, you can make a bracha on it, yes. Okay. But the Mishnah Berurah says only temporarily.
What does the Aruch HaShulchan say?
I don't know what it says.
Why do I have in my head that you can even go further down on one side?
That's the Mechaber brings down that opinion. Well, I'm not even sure. I don't know exactly. Either the Mishnah Berurah brings it or the Mechaber brings it. And that's another opinion which, to the best of my knowledge, we do not paskin like. We do not paskin like that. It's a teeny amount. I told you a centimeter, that might even be too much. It has to be enough to wrap around the remain, the tzitzis. To wrap around. So you need, how much do you need? How much left over do you need?
But who says it needs to be wrapped around at the top knot? It can be wrapped around on the third knot.
What? I don't know. No. That's the knots, they're five knots. That's called chulyon.
The knots are
you only need one knot. You're right. Midaraisa, so then what you're suggesting is that open up the knots. So you're giving a whole longish din. Open up the knots. Open up a knot. They have a solution. If you have tzitzis like this, so you're saying a very good solution. What you're saying is open up the knots, and now you only need one knot. So what you should do is open up, five. I don't need five. I'll open up one knot. When I'll open up one knot and let it unwind, now I'll have left a teeny amount. So that, until you do that, it's possible. You're right. But until you do that, the bottom line is you have to have on your tzitzis the chulyo.
Right, and you can't do it on Shabbos.
You can't open that on Shabbos. And number two, it could very well be, that would be called tasev lemino osu. If you now open up the knot, you're making it retroactively. Because right now it's possible. So.
Because when you originally made the tzitzis,
yeah,
you didn't have five knots.
It doesn't matter. Right now, it doesn't matter. Right now, you have to have gedil, called gedil and chulya. The bottom line is, right now, that part of the tzitzit is called gedil.
Yeah, but as soon as you had one knot, you had the tzitzit were good. You added another knot, and then you added you counted 13.
Because every point of the way, every time you made a knot, you always had the chulya. It was always longer. It was always hanging out.
Yeah, but you were adding things that were
hindering. Fine, but you still always had a long string. Now you no longer have that. Right now your string is cut to the root. It's cut to the root. So what do you have right now? Right now you have gedil.
I hear what you say. I know the Mishnah Berurah says that, but I somehow have in my head that, you know.
Okay, we gotta check it up. It's in the books. Let's go check it up. But lean at you later, I'll check it up. I'm too tired now. I have to go take two phone calls now, but I'll check it. We'll bleed it. We'll check it out.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Okay, Zygism.
Lazy Bachi, you got home already?
He left already. Lazy Bachi is left.
He was from his car the whole time.
His mom is a masmet.
Yeah, yeah. He's your biggest dog.
He is. You also.
Me, I'm your biggest.